This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. Again, for those of you who would like to contact me, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of this program. Remember, you can re-listen to this program on the website. You can leave me prayer requests. You can be placed on the free subscription list for Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time. If you want any of this information, you'll need to have either the website address or my mailing address so that you can contact me. So if you would like those addresses, please get a pencil and a piece of paper out so that you can write them down at the close of the program. Now, the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at response to the Word of God. First of all, we were looking at the parable of the sower. And there was a good word, good seed sown. The Word of God was sown. But we noted that it didn't all sprout. It didn't all take root. It did not all bear fruit. And the reason was because of different soil conditions. And we do notice that there is a very few today who really have a desire to listen to what God is saying and to respond to it. Some have the devil take the word out of their hearts and make them forget it, and some are concerned with the cares of this world and the problems of this world, and when trial or tribulation comes, they fall away, and some just have the word fall on stony ground where it's just not prepared to take root. But there are some who, with a good and honest heart, have the Word of God sown in their hearts. It takes root. They become believers in Christ. They believe that the Word of God is what it claims to be, the message from God, the love letter from God, a contract from God, and they take God at His word and trust Him, and then they begin to study the Bible to find out who God really is and what He really wants and what He would like from them. A life that is lived in harmony with our Creator is going to be a life that is going to be much more happy and productive than a life that is lived out of harmony with the One who created us for His purposes. And His purpose is that we would glorify Him, that is, magnify Him, bring Him honor, and be a part of His beautiful creation. We look out at creation oftentimes and say, look how beautiful it is. But we're part of God's creation. And when you look at society today, I sometimes wonder how anyone could say, look how beautiful man has made society, the crowning, you might say the crowning part of God's creation. So we need to be created anew. That's what the new birth is all about, and that's why we study the Word of God. And last time we noted that there were those in Berea who were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they studied that they searched the Scriptures daily or from day to day to see whether the things that Paul and Silas were telling them were true. We live in a day when the making of many books, there is no end, like we read in Daniel. We live in a day when you can pick up a book that will agree with you no matter what your point of view is, and disagree with you no matter what your point of view is. Many people know all of the current authors. They know what is popular on the New York best-selling list, but they have forgotten that the best-selling book of all times is the Bible. And that is the book that we need to be studying. Oftentimes, even in our Bible studies, we have a tendency to go to a book somebody has written, and we do look up the references that they have in the book, but we try to figure out what the author is saying, particularly when he asks questions that we should be answering. We often look at it and try to figure out what the author wants us to get out of the passage, and that may be helpful, but it's much more helpful when we read a passage of Scripture and get alone with God and ask the Lord what He wants us to get out of the passage. Now, books are helpful to help us understand the grammar, to understand the history, the background, the customs, and even to make suggestions as to what the passage means. That's why I preach. I don't think very many people would really understand the basic truth of Scripture is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. was raised again, was buried and was raised again the third day according to the scripture, and that the Old Testament to the New Testament is really pointing the truth out, pointing out the truth about Christ. In the Old Testament, he's coming, and in the New Testament, he has come, and he's coming again. And so we find out that the scriptures are what it's all about. God has given us a reason to understand and to believe him. He has given us the Bible. It has a lot of what I would call validity checks in it through the prophecies. The prophecies give us confidence that what God has said has come to pass in many cases and will come to pass where it hasn't already come to pass. And of course, one of those prophecies is that he that believeth on the Son is not condemned, that he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So we need to study the scriptures to make sure that we're right with God, and so that we have confidence in the Word of God, that we don't have confidence in what somebody has told us the Word of God says. They may have helped us, and they may have pointed out truth that we are now convinced of, but we need to be convinced of these things for ourselves. We need to personally be convinced that the Lord is our own Savior, and that we have the Word of God assuring us of that. 1 John 5 and verse 13 says, "These things I have written unto you that believe, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." And so we want to go to what has been written and believe that. Now, if you're like me, you probably think, and I mentioned this last time, that if you had seen the signs and miracles that the Lord did, that it would be easier, perhaps, to have complete, unwavering confidence in the Lord than if we just had the Bible itself. And I want to assure you that the Lord himself says that if all you have is the Old Testament, that's enough for you to understand God's plan with regard to redemption, God's plan of salvation. That's all that you need to have. And so you need to be clear in your mind that the miracles and signs are not what most people need in order to be sure they're saved and sure that they're pleasing the Lord. What they need is the scripture. And what I'm thinking about in particular is a verse in Luke chapter 16 and verse 31. If you read Luke chapter 16, we find that there were two men. One was a rich man, and one was a man by the name of Lazarus. The Lazarus was a poor man, a beggar. He laid at the gate full of sores. Dogs licked his wounds. He begged for the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. He didn't have it good in this life. Now, I said that if we live our life in harmony with God's plan for us, will be better off. It doesn't look like he was better off, and yet I'm convinced that he was, and that he was and is being used to this day as a testimony to others, so that they will, in fact, understand the need of trusting the truth of Scripture. But anyway, when Lazarus died, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The passage doesn't tell us why he went to heaven, but it tells us that he did. We find out from other scriptures that he was a true believer in Jehovah. He was one who worshiped the living God. He understood the need for sacrifice for his sins. Now, the rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. And this is the story. A lot of people want to believe that this story is just a parable, but I believe it's a real story because real names are used, and because other scripture supports the picture of eternal torment that we have here. But the reason I believe that it's literal and not a parable is because if it's a parable, it's explaining something to us that we do not understand by using something that we do understand, and that makes the real thing worse. And so saying that it's a parable only, in my mind, makes the teaching of the parable more horrendous than it already is. But the Bible is clear that there are people that end up there. And when they end up there, apparently they are concerned about their relatives and their friends not wanting them to come there. And that's what happened with this rich man when he woke up, being in torment, couldn't get a drop of water to cool his tongue, realizing that he had turned his back on the God who wanted to redeem him, save him, make a new creature out of him, change him from a sinner to a saint, turned his back on all of that because he wanted the pleasures of sin for a season. He wanted to advance himself in this world. He wanted to have the prestige that comes with being successful. When he realized that the things that he had denied in life were true in death, when he found out he was wrong, then he says, "Send Lazarus to my father's house. I have five brothers. I have five brothers, and let him convince them that, in fact, they need to be saved." And Abraham tells him, Abraham is speaking to him, he said, if they won't believe Moses and the prophets, that is the Old Testament scriptures, neither will they be persuaded though one were to rise from the dead. That's Luke 16 and verse 31. If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. And isn't it interesting that Lazarus, whether it's the same one or not, was raised from the dead? And the Pharisees, who would probably be part of this family, or at least represent part of the family that this man was concerned about, they wanted to kill Lazarus because that by reason of him, many believed on Jesus. You can't convince people whose minds are made up of the truth. And so here's a miracle that takes place. Lazarus is raised from the dead. And as Lazarus is raised from the dead, it doesn't make any difference to the hard-hearted Pharisees. They just blind themselves to the fact that one day they're going to end up where that rich man is. They don't care. They're going to live for time and not for eternity. So if they believe not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one were raised from the dead. And when the greater miracle occurred, when Christ, who had died according to the scriptures, was buried and was raised again the third day according to the scriptures, when he was raised from the dead, the Pharisees persuaded the soldiers to tell the lie that his disciples had come and stole him away, rather than believing the truth that God was proving to them that in fact Christ was the Messiah, he was who he claimed to be. They needed to believe on him. And what I'm saying is that if we today can't believe the scriptures, we wouldn't believe if there were a great miracle that would occur. I know I myself would probably try to explain a miracle away. I would probably think there was some sleight of hand or magician's trick being used if I saw a miracle. Jews seek after a sign, but the Gentiles seek after wisdom. I'm a Gentile. I need to have things be logical and to make sense. And of course, Scripture doesn't always find itself to be logical. It doesn't always make sense. And so as we look at the truth of Luke chapter 16, we have to recognize that we need to believe what God has said. A great miracle would never make us sure where the Scriptures can. If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Christ is arisen. We need to trust him that we might be saved and saved eternally. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon the program. We pray for thy blessing upon our listeners. We thank thee for thy word, and we thank thee for thy salvation. We give thee thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.